But the miracle was intended for them to really come to him and ask him for help. You see, it was a common expectation of the Jews that the Messiah would come and then he would restore provision to God's people like Moses did in the wilderness. They were waiting on him, according to John 6:14. They were waiting on someone like Moses to come and restore. And he's saying, because I'm going to do this, you're going to recognize that I'm the one that Moses was, you all were waiting on. But they didn't get it, did they? They didn't get it. We find out in chapter 8 of Mark, verse 21, that they just did not get it. He said, how is it that you do not understand? I am the fulfillment of the prophecy. And that's why we know that you can expect a mysterious increase when it comes to fulfilled prophecy. God will do what it takes, even if it's miraculous, to fulfill the prophecy. And that's what it took. And when I think about the fact that God gives increases, and he gives it, he gave it in this case for the purpose of them knowing that the Messiah has arrived. I'm doing all these miracles, and I want you all to recognize that I'm here. As he broke the fish, as he broke the loaves, you know, a lot of things you don't get the full quality of until it's broken. Amen. That's the way, that's a sermon by itself. It's just like us. You're not worth much until you're broken. Until you are hurt. Until somebody breaks your heart. Disappoints you. Hurts you. Squeezes you. Mashes you. Anybody been mashed in the house? And God got more. Well, God, you can, he will give. Not only when it comes to fulfill prophecy, but when you put him first. The widow at Zarephath. In 1 Kings chapter 17, God says, I have commanded a widow to feed you. And when he came into the city, in 1 Kings 17:10, the lady came, she was gathering sticks. And then he asked her for some water in verse 11. And then he asked her for some food in verse 12. And then in verse 13, he began to tell her that, I know that you are gathering. She says, I'm gathering two sticks to feed my son and I, and we're going to die. I don't have but a little. Elijah said, that's all I need. It was a little bit. I just want a little in 1 Kings 17:13. I just want a little. As a matter of fact, God told me to tell you that if you put me first, then what you got won't run out. Amen. I don't know how it happened. But there was a mysterious increase of food in that house. The meal barrel didn't get empty. And the oil never ran out. No empty jars in her house. As she obeyed God, God replenished it. But she had to participate and give her part. And that's what happened. She had to make the sacrifice of giving up what she had first. Even before her boy. Amen. But that's what happens, is that God says, when you put me first, you're going to get better results than if you put me last. I want the first part of everything. Don't bring me nothing second. Remember that boy who told Jesus, he said, look, I want you to go preach. He said, suffer me first to go bury my father. He said, you didn't use the word first, did you? No, you can't. No. He said, no. He says, he that cometh to the kingdom and looketh back is not worthy of the kingdom. Follow me. And let the dead bury their dead. But you go thou. And it's interesting. He told him to go preach the kingdom of God. And you can expect a mysterious increase when it comes to finances. When there is financial priority in your life. Malachi said, bring it all. Not eighth, not an eighth, not a fifth, but a tenth. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. They were robbing God. Amen. And robbing folk, you do that in person. Stealing, you do behind their back. He said, now who would rob me? This whole nation. You robbed me. How did you do it? In tithes and in offerings that was needed to take care of my house. And you can't take care of my house and I not take care of your house. Bring all the tithes. If you think I'm joking, prove me. That means try me. He says, test me. He says, I dare you. The only place in the Bible where God challenges us, allows us to challenge him. He said, I try me on this. Just do it to see if it'll work. Just try it. He says, if you don't think I can, you ain't, don't even require no faith. Just try it and see. You won't be able to take care of my, let me get on out of here, my stuff, and I'll take care of you. When you put God first, he said, I'll open up the windows because they'll be locked on you. And I will pour you out a blessing. Amen. I'll pour it out. Amen. You can't stop it. It's going to be flowing profusely out. He said, I will pour you out a blessing. And I'm going to stop what's causing the problem. I'm going to rebuke the devourer. When you become a tither, then God gets involved in your finances. And he opens the windows of heaven. And he stops the things from taking it. He says that when you tithe, it's just going to gush out. You won't be able to stop it. I'm going to pour you out a blessing. Amen. Amen. And you'll not have room enough. That's when you know you got God involved, when you ain't got no room. God going to bless you where you. And so he says that you got to have your priorities straight. Because giving exposes the heart. And if you got the right kind of heart, it lets you know if your heart is right. A person that won't give, they got a, their heart, there's something wrong with your heart. If you don't want to, if you got a closed up heart, it you got to have your hands open. So you can't expect a mysterious increase in your finances when you put God first, when you get your priorities straight, these increases. And when you are faithful to God, if you could talk to Hezekiah tell you that Isaiah came to me in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1, and he told me to set my house in order, for I'm going to die, and you're not going to live. The Bible says Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. And he said, Lord, remember, I beseech thee, I beg of thee, that you remember that I really remember how I have walked before you with a perfect heart. That means an honest heart. And I've tried to do all that you wanted me to do. I've done your work. I've been faithful. And God says, turn around and go back, Isaiah. And he stopped him in the middle of the courtyard. He was walking out, and God stopped him. You see, God's in charge. He was sick. God's still in charge. God said, now I was, before he could even get out, he said, turn around and go back. In verse 5, he stopped him in the middle court, and he went back in 2 Kings 20 or Isaiah 38, whichever one you want to read. He went back, and verse 6 says, I have added to his days 15 years. Lord, have mercy. God can do it. He said, turn around and go back. Amen. Tell him he's not going to die now. Because he reminded me of how faithful he was on the Lord's program. Whether you were an usher, a choir member, a deacon, or whatever you were, if you were faithful, loyal, dedicated, devoted, whether it was raining or sunshine, you didn't miss church last Sunday because it was because Harvey was in town. You sacrificed. You showed me that I was still God. I was still worthy to be praised. And the hurricane didn't even stop you. How many of y'all was at church last? Don't raise your hand. He said, now, you were faithful in your service. Nobody was watching you. God can't, nobody can't watch everywhere you go, but God is paying attention. Well, let me get on. He says, now go back and tell him I want him to participate in his deliverance. In verse 7, he says that I want you to, he had some type inflammation. He had a boil on him. And God says in verse 7, take the fig, take a lump of figs and put it on the boil and he'll be healed. God, now he could have did it without it, but he wants our involvement. That's the point. God gives an increase. That means that I'm not talking about he gives something subsequent to what you give. He's talking about he's going to take what you got and make it go a long ways. He's going to take what you got because what you got means you're involved. God said, I'm not just going to create the blessing out there. I want to know if you are connected to your blessing. I want to know if you are involved in it. I want to know, amen. I want to know if you love it enough, amen. If you want it bad enough, amen, to put something in it, to give me something to work with. Show me some sacrifices on your part before I don't need you. I don't need Hezekiah. I don't need Isaiah or the figs. I really don't need them. It's the way. I didn't need the fish. I didn't need her little oil. I didn't need it. I didn't need your little tithe. I don't need it. I really don't need it. But it's a reflection of your participating. You making a sacrifice instead of me just doing it all. How many of y'all know your kids appreciate stuff when you tell them you got to put something on it too? Yeah, we could let you stay here free, but we want you to put something in the pot. We need to know. Keep you from messing, not appreciating. You got to know that in life there's a sense of responsibility and that you just don't coast on through it. Folk riding on other folk coattails. Amen. You need to pay. You need to make a sacrifice and sit up here and let the air hit you in the face. No, that's not that. You got a part. You're going to have to participate. Amen. You know, I used to go to class. Amen. When you go to class and everything going fine, the teacher said, oh, we're going to all do something today. We're going to have something in class. I forgot what they call it. But everybody got to participate today. Amen. You just don't get to sit up here. Amen. We want y'all to participate in. It's going to be some class activities. Oh, no. What are we going to have to do? I thought I was going to. Well, the fact is that God will. You need to know that when God, there will be a mysterious increase when we're following God physically. All through the Bible, God is letting us see these increases. This is where I work. Increase, increase, increase. And your part, my part, your part, my part. And he says in Nehemiah 9:21 and Deuteronomy 2:7, God told his people, he said, now you've been walking with me for 40 years. And there's been a cloud by day and a ball of fire by night. And you've been following me. And for those who following me, I'm going to bless them physically. You've been walking around in this desert. Walking, walking. You wasn't riding. You were walking. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 2:7. And Nehemiah says that God bless you where your and Nehemiah 9:21, where your feet didn't swell and the clothes on you didn't get old and your shoes didn't have holes in their soles. Amen. For 40 years, you've been walking. And you've been following me. And I want you to know physically, I'm going to show you, I will bless you. You haven't lacked anything out here in the desert. Let me move on. And the fact of the matter is, God will bless you when it comes to fulfill promises. Amen. God will bless you when it comes to fulfill promises. God told Abraham that he was going to give him a seed, that he was going to bless him to be a mighty nation, according to Genesis 18:18. And he says, you're going to have a progeny. There's going to be somebody to come after you. In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. They're going to be blessed through you, Abraham. Abraham said, I got a problem. I'm 100 years old, Lord. And you saying I'm going to have children? He said, yes. I'm going to return. The angel told him in Genesis 18:10, to you according to the time of life. And he told him that Sarah is going to get pregnant in verse 12. And she kind of laughed about it, you know. In verse 15 of Genesis 18, and she laughed, and then she lied about it. She said, I didn't laugh. He said, you laughed. He said, no, you didn't. Yes, you did. I heard you. You see, you can't sneak by God. God knows when you're laughing at him. He said, man, you must be crazy. You must never laugh at God. Never laugh and say, no, God can't. Don't laugh behind his back. God said, oh, why did Sarah laugh? I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. You laughed. You laughed. And he said, well, you laughing, but the truth of the matter is that you're going to give birth, grandma, great-grandma. You're going to have to go buy some maternity clothes by next year this time. Yeah, you laughing. But the truth of the matter is that you can't laugh at God, because he asked a question that's very interesting in verse 14. Is there anything? Amen. Now, I'm just asking a question. He asked a question. He said, is there anything too hard for God when it comes to fulfilling his promises? If he said it, he can do it. And he says, and sure enough, in chapter 21, verse 2 of Genesis, out pops Isaac. She had a baby. out pops Isaac. Amen. I know that, you know, God, he's so good, he make you laugh. You know, you laugh and then he shock you when he does it, you know. You ever had anything that's laughable? And folk just laughed at you, just laugh, keep laughing. God wiped it. You'll quit laughing all of a sudden. Well, the truth of the matter is, when it comes to fulfilling his promises, you just can't beat him. And sure enough, but also when it comes to serving out front, that's what Moses did. Moses served the children of Israel for 40 years. Walked around in the desert. He was the intercessor between God and the people, the prophet Moses. Moses caught a lot of hell in the desert. They murmured, complained, fought, argued. Complained, just wouldn't stop arguing. And they just kept on with Moses. And one day they made him mad. God said, now they're thirsty. They need some water. God said, just speak to the rock. Because see, the rock is about, really typifies Jesus. And he did not have to be made to do anything. He volunteered. He said, no man take my life. Now, the truth of the matter is, you don't have to, Christ didn't have to be made to do anything. So Moses misrepresented him. And he said, you rebels, shall God bring forth water out of his. So he got mad at the people. So God said, Moses, you shouldn't have did that because you misrepresented what Jesus, the one you're fulfilling, is all about. That rock was about Jesus. Jesus, you never had to make Jesus do nothing. Let me get on. And the truth of the matter is that he said, now, you go on up to Mount Nebo, and I'll let you see it. I'll let you see it. Deuteronomy 34:1. I'll let you see it. So he was there in the plain of Moab, and then he went on up to Mount Nebo, and then he went on up to the pike of Mount Pisgah. And God let him oversee it, according to verse 6 of chapter 34. And God could see the land. But he said, you couldn't get in. Amen. That's the land right there. You're 6 miles away from it. But that's as close as you're going to get. And he says that going up in the mountain and die. And we find that in Genesis 32 and 50, Moses died up in the mountain. Just like his brother Aaron, they both he died up in the mountain too. They died up in the mountain. They disobeyed God. They didn't honor God, and they died up in the mountain. Bible says God wouldn't even let nobody come to Moses' funeral. He took the body of Moses, according to verse 6 of Genesis 34, and then he buried it. And they don't haven't been able to find that body yet. God buried it. Buried his body. And then the Bible tells us that Moses, according to verse number 7, was a man who had been 120 years old. And his eyesight was still good, and he still had a spring in his step, according to the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase of Eugene Peterson. He had good vision, and he was just like a young man. Yes. Moses, there's more I want to say about that, but I ain't got time. He led them, and then the Bible says, go on up there, Moses, and die. So Moses died. You said, what did he die of since he was healthy? Well, he actually... he didn't die from old age. He died from disobedience. That's really why he died. Because his health was good. He had good eyesight. He had good physical strength. So how did he die? Because he disobeyed God. You see, since he was 6 miles away from the promised land, he was not allowed to get in it, so his job was over. Amen. It's not your age that determines your death. It's your assignment. What are you doing?